Welcome to the Netzpolitik podcast. My name is Markus Beckedahl and my guest today is Matt Mullenweg from WordPress.org and WordPress.com. Hi.
Hello.
So you are the founder of the fabulous blog software WordPress.
Co-founder, yeah.
Can you explain how did you fund it, WordPress, or the whole project?
Well, what happened was I was blogging myself and using software, first movable type, and then I switched to software called B2 Cafe Log. And I had been sort of lightly involved with that. I had maybe like a patch that had gone into the code or something. And B2 was somewhat abandoned, so the developer disappeared. So I blogged about this on my site, and then a guy over in England called Mike Little left a comment and said, well, hey, if you're serious about this, I'd like to work with you on it. And so together we founded WordPress.
So did you start it from the scratch, or did you took some
built
other
on
code?
It's built on top of B2. And at the time, there were probably four or five other forks of the software, of B2 Cafe Log. One of them still on, B2 Evolution. Still on, but there was also like B2++ and a few of those. We sort of combined all those communities. So we sort of brought them together and said, hey, let's work together on WordPress. And WordPress sort of had the best name and the best, you know, sort of look and everything. So we were able to all collaborate.
So you mean the name was the thing why WordPress is so successful?
Yep, that's it. That's the only reason.
Yeah, and when did you start it?
I guess this was 2003, I think.
Okay, yeah, I'm using it since 2004.
Ah, so you're very early.
Yeah, my first experiences were Nucleus CMS. It was a blogging software from Japan in 2002, but it was awful. now it's the project has 5 years experience. How did the WordPress community grow so fast and so big?
Well, it didn't grow fast at all. It was very slow in the beginning. It was very much organic in the beginning. You know, myself, the other developers, doing all the support, all the documentation, all the development, the website, the everything. You know, and one of the things I did early on was, you know, I'd watch Technology for any time someone mentioned WordPress. Then I'd be there and I'd leave a comment and say, please, please. So from the very beginning, it was very bootstrapped. So, you know, we were definitely working hard to get people involved. And then over time, it was a slow growth, but it eventually built momentum. So, we used to do 10 or 20 downloads a day. Year two or three, it was a couple hundred. Now it's 15,000-20,000 a day. But that was all just sort of 10% at a time.
And what was the peak? When did it really started and why?
The peak?
Yeah, the peak. So in the beginning it was just 10 downloads a day. And was there a peak or was it just a very small growing every day?
It was small growing. There was one tipping point. Movable type came out with their version 3.0, which was, they called it a developer release. It didn't really add any new user features, but they had re-architected some stuff in the back end. And most importantly, when they introduced it, they changed the pricing model. Movable type was proprietary software, which means, of course, they can change the license at any time, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there were some people who woke up having free software one day, and the next day they were expected to pay hundreds of dollars. And this angered the blog community. They felt very betrayed because they, you know, Movable type had been by far the most popular. They at least had 90-95% of the self-hosted blog market. We came out with our version 1.0, actually shortly thereafter, that had a movable type importer. And so it was people, I think, were searching for an alternative. So we definitely got some very prominent folks switching. In fact, one of the most famous at the time was this fantastic writer called Mark Pilgrim. And he wrote a very pivotal essay called Freedom Zero. And Freedom Zero refers to the first freedom of the GPL, which is the right to use the software for any purpose without restriction. And so what he did was he, for his personal use, it would have cost something like $560 to upgrade to Movable Type 3. But he said, you know, it's not about the price. I don't care about the money. I care about that I'm at the mercy of this proprietary license. I don't have true freedom. So he took that money and he actually donated it to WordPress, the exact same he would have had to pay, and said, you know, more important than price is freedom.
So, I think around 2005, 2006, it was a big growing of WordPress. Mm-hmm. How did the community started to organize itself and to collaborate? Mm-hmm. It's a huge ecosystem around.
We always had forums, mailing list, bug trackers. It's pretty much like any open source community. The two things we got lucky on, though, were I believe with 1.2 we introduced the plugin system, and with 1.5 we introduced the theme system. So basically, themes are a way that you can change the entire look and feel of WordPress, and plugins allow you to modify the functionality. These were done in a very simple way, but it turned out that it made it very accessible for developers of all skill levels to contribute and to create plugins and themes. And so over time, real communities, like that's what I consider the true community of WordPress, the plugin and theme developers, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them out there. And when you look at it, the average WordPress blog has about 5 plugins installed from our stats. But there's a long tail. So there's a couple plugins that are very popular, like Akismet and Stats and All-in-One SEO. But most people use different plugins. So my WordPress is different from your WordPress, which is different from that guy's WordPress and everything. Almost everyone has their own unique based on the set of plugins they have installed. So it makes it a very personalized experience for everyone.
Another advantage is you can choose between lots of different designs.
Yep.
Was it also big advantage in the market?
Absolutely, yeah. And these are things that are tough to compete with, right? It'd not be hard to start a new blogging software and copy all of WordPress's features. It'd be very hard or impossible to copy the community around it that's created these thousands of themes and plugins.
Do you have any numbers or how big the community might be? Or the core people in the community and how many else are contributing?
The last time we ran the numbers more formally was, I think, with the 2.5 release, which was the major release we did. That had 90 developers who contributed code that was in the final release. In terms of more broadly the plugins and themes, it's hard to know exactly. I would say somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 people that actively develop plugins and themes.
What have you done when you started WordPress? Do you been a student or?
Yeah, I was a bad student actually because I was spending too much time on this. But yeah, I was in college in Houston. I was studying political science and philosophy mainly, but I didn't finish. I dropped out it was about 2 years into WordPress. I dropped out to take a job at CNET, which is a publisher in San Francisco. They allowed me to work a fair amount on WordPress as well. And then a year into that, I thought, wow, this is a bigger opportunity. So that's when I founded the company Automattic.
Automattic is the company behind WordPress.com.
This is true. Yeah, so our two main projects are WordPress.com, which is a hosted version of the WordPress software, and then Akismet, which is our anti-spam software.
And what's the business model between both or within both?
It's a little weird because we don't really have any intellectual property. All our development goes in the core WordPress.
Open source business.
Yeah, we give it all away. But services. So Akismet is free for personal use, but it's paid for commercial use. And then for WordPress.com, where we host now 4-point-something million blogs, there's upgrades. So for example, you could buy a custom domain name for $15 or extra space for your blog for $20, something like that. And we also show some advertising on WordPress.com. So between those things, and the final one would be what we call our VIP program, which is essentially like blog hosting, but we host blogs for CNN and the New York Times and Fox News and all these sorts of folks, Wall Street Journal. And they obviously pay for that. So between those things, it supports the company. We've always tried to stay in the black and grow profitably.
And is Akismet better than Spam Karma? I'm using Spam Karma too, and I am not a big fan.
Oh, really? Well, the reason Akismet was created, not because it was necessarily better at any particular technique, but that it could adapt. So something like Spam Karma is a plugin that is relatively static, right? It works a certain way, and at some point, spammers are going to start working around it. I mean, that's just what has always happened. And I had written plugins like Spam Karma myself. Some of them are still around. And what happened was, eventually it became obvious that the spammers were just reading my blog and downloading my plugin, because literally the next day after I wrote one of these new things that had worked perfectly for a few months, as soon as I'd release it, it would go bad. Mm-hmm. So Akismet was the idea that we could adapt just as fast as the spammers do to their changing techniques.
Okay, and that works?
So thus far it maintains a 99.925% accuracy over 5 billion comments.
Okay.
So that's higher than email, better than most things out there.
Yeah, that sounds good. And how much do I have to pay if I use it for a commercial purpose?
It starts at $5 per month and goes up to thousands of dollars per month. It just depends on your usage. This customer is big and small. For example, Yahoo is a customer.
Okay. And what are the next steps for WordPress.org, for the community?
Well, our next big release is version 2.7, which is going to be coming out actually in November, so pretty soon. And what we've done is we did a great deal of testing. We worked with a usability lab in New York City, and they do this cool thing with lasers, where you'll sit at a computer and you'll be using WordPress or something like that, and they'll use a laser to track where your eye is looking on the screen, and then you can map that out. It's really, really cool. And we discovered some interesting things about the usability of WordPress. So we sort of have done a redesign focused on making it faster to use, and by that not meaning making the PHP faster, but just making it take fewer clicks for you to do things. The things you do most should be a lot faster and more intuitive. So it's just easier for people who aren't as familiar with WordPress or don't know how the ins and outs to just figure things out. So, you know, personally, I've been using the 2.7 interface that we dubbed Crazy Horse when we were testing it, and it's hard for me to go back. Like, it's just so much quicker. For example, to edit a comment in 2.7, I just double click on it and it edits right in line.
Okay.
Or I can reply to comments just from my admin without having to go to the blog, or just things like that. It's a lot faster.
Okay, more usability, but also more technical things which have changed.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. For example, there's an entirely new set of APIs. Basically, the idea is we've created APIs for everything you do in the WordPress dashboard. You should be able to do from through the XMRPC interface. So, for example, you'll be able to moderate comments from a desktop client or from your iPhone or from your phone or anything like that. There's been some technical improvements around themes, where now you can have threaded comments and AJAX comments, and just things like that are very, very easy to do and built in, where previously they would require plugins. There's the things I mentioned around the dashboard, and I'd say those are the user-facing things that people will notice the most. If you're a developer, there's some cool new stuff in there around caching frameworks and just things that make WordPress faster and easier to develop for.
Okay, yeah, cool. I have some caching problems, but I think it's more I need a bigger server.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And do you have any plans for 3.0 version? So much more in the future, which I haven't read in your blogs.
As a project, we're taking a stand against version number inflation. So 3.0 will just be the version after 2.9.
Okay.
So we do a major release every three or four months now, so three major ones a year. So I guess sometime into 2009, 3.0 will come out, but it'll just be different.
Sometimes I hear from developers that WordPress is a crap of software, so it should be rebuilt from scratch.
From the ground up, right?
Yeah, have you any plans about this? Or
also, my philosophy on that, you can look at projects that have done that in the past, and it's really been like a death sentence. You know, if you look at the market penetration and success that Netscape had, and then they decided to rewrite it from the ground up, and it's only really recently that they've come close to the numbers they used to have, right? This is 7 years later. So I think if we just scrapped everything in WordPress, it would be horrible, because also we'd probably break backwards compatibility, which is incredibly important. If you look at every successful platform over the past 30 years, backwards compatibility has been tantamount. But we do rewrite things slowly. So if you were to, for example, compare 1.5 with 2.7, and there's maybe 10% of the code is the same. Basically, the whole thing's been rewritten. It just, we did a lot of releases along the way. We rewrite a little bit at a time. And in terms of people, lots of people criticize the style of WordPress or the coding or things like that. And I think the proof's just in the pudding, right? WordPress.com is now one of the largest websites in the world. The previous 30 days, the Google Analytics numbers show it reaching 230 million uniques. It's doing 1 billion page views a month now. That's on the same software that you run on your blog. There's no magic that we have. Everything we do is just the same thing. So the code has gotten a lot better as a result of us doing WordPress.com and also WordPress.com growing so much.
Okay. And if you take a look into Germany and the German community, do you see any special things on Germany comparing to other countries? Or what's your outside view on Germany?
Well, the food has been fantastic so far.
Okay, and with the computers and
the beer, and yes. Well, there's actually a great German community. They were one of the first ones. I believe the address is Do you know it's WordPress.de or something? And they are one of the better international communities. They have a great set of forums, documentation. They do releases the same day we do. And so really, I would defer to them. I mean, our international strategy is that, you know, we don't know what's best for every single country. For the way we do things is, well, my view is very American. That's just everything I know. But we set the framework up so the local communities can shape WordPress and make it fit their local culture. And everyone's different, you know. I was just in China 2 weeks ago and doing work camps there. And there were two of them, one in Shanghai, one in Beijing. Maybe 500 people went to between them. And it was amazing because WordPress.com is blocked in China. There was, I think, one WordPress.com user there. But they sort of taken the software and adapted locally, and it's really starting to get a lot of usage for the same reason it does here. But that's in spite of us having literally no presence, no employees, no one who speaks Chinese, nothing. So that's kind of neat.
Okay, but you don't have any stats about downloads from Germany?
Oh, downloads from Germany. So I did look before. I think on WordPress.com we're hosting over 100,000 German, self-identified German language blogs, which is, I think, number 3 or 4.
How many are used?
I don't know that number. If I had a guess, I'd say, let's say 30,000 of them, you know, about a third. And that was interesting. The download numbers, I don't know. We'd have to ask the German community.
Okay, they are hosting it, or is it hosted on WordPress.org?
So they, I think they host their own downloads. Some of them we host, and so then I could look up the numbers, and some of them they host. So.
Okay, then thank you for the interview, and have more fun in Germany.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.